Time now to go in between the pipes. It's Crease Lightning with Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Joins us every Monday. Kevin, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm good, and from Vancouver, which is, you know, I'm grateful after hearing that snowfall warning right that you gave just now.
Yeah, you guys are probably just having more rain, you know.
Yeah, a little bit. It's, you know, dark and gray versus white and cold.
Let's start with Braden Holtby, who, of course, you know, has really emerged as, I think, a bona fide number one goalie in the National Hockey League. He'll be in consideration with Corey Crawford and Fleury probably as the backup for Carey Price for Canada's World Cup team coming up this summer. But Holtby, like a lot of other goalies over the last few years, has really been a guy who had to change his game and more with less. Is that fair to say as far as movement goes?
Yeah, a little bit. It's funny because, you know, a couple things. I mean, first of all, I think I give this caveat every time we talk, but, you know, goaltending never exists in a vacuum, and I think he's obviously benefited from having Barry Trotz as his head coach in Washington last year in this. And yet, that said, one of the things that Trotz warned him about, and one of the things that Mitch Korn, the goaltending coach there that came with Barry, was worried about a couple months into the season, was whether Braden could be a good, not busy goaltender. They knew he was a good, busy goaltender, but how would he adjust mentally to not seeing as many shots? And so it kind of it led me, and that's what I wrote about last week in the NHL.com Unmasked column, about how, you know, in a day and age where the advanced stats measure players and teams based on shot volume and how many shots they face, and to an increasing degree goaltenders, you know, it's kind of ironic and maybe throws a little monkey wrench in the plan that it can be harder for some goalies in particular to face less shots, to have those lulls in action where they don't feel like they're in the game, like they don't have their rhythm and they can't get their timing. And, you know, that was a very serious concern for Holtby 6 weeks into last year and what turned out to be, you know, fourth in Vezina voting type season. And, you know, by all accounts, just a great season last season. So, less can sometimes be tougher for goalies. It was an adjustment for him. I think, you know, for all the talk of Brodeur over the years, you know, about the fact he faced fewer chances behind a good Devils defense, one of the things that he did really well, and something I think Corey Crawford does really well as well, is manage to stay in the game and not give up bad goals, not give up soft goals, despite not seeing shots for long periods of time. Well, quite often, while your team's peppering the guys at the other end, in Crawford's case, and it's a skill. It's one that Brodeur managed by handling the puck more, that he felt that kept him involved. And so Holtby, handling the puck is one of them, and, you know, just his mental approach has managed to make that adjustment.
Kevin, just want to switch over to the Winnipeg Jets for a moment. You know, we're talking about getting somebody to stand up and grab the job here in Edmonton. You go out to Winnipeg, they lose a quality guy like Pavlik. They've got depth there. They look like they might be okay. That's a rare commodity in this league.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. It didn't take long for the jokes about on Twitter that Shane Doan may have helped the Jets by wiping out Pavlik. I actually, you know, a lot of people have been hard on Andre Pavlik over the past few years, and I've actually seen a lot of improvements in his game, especially over the last two seasons, just tactically and positionally, and that's led to better consistency. It's not perfect yet, but I think Pavlik's taken a lot of strides. And that said, losing him, I don't know that there's an organization in the NHL right now that has better goaltending depth than the Winnipeg Jets. We've seen Hutchinson struggle lately. But, you know, come on the scene last year and give them, you know, a good option behind Pavlik. And if you saw the World Championships last year, Connor Hellebuck is the real deal. When he was in the American Hockey League last year, and that's who's been called up to replace Pavlik, when he was in the American Hockey League last year, I got text messages from other veteran AHL goalies telling me to watch out for Connor Hellebuck and just how good this kid was. And that doesn't happen every day. That's a pretty rare occurrence, and it was more than once that it happened. So clearly a lot of people think very highly of him. He showed at the World Championships what he's capable of, and the Jets, you know, are going to get a look at whether he's ready right now, and by the sounds of it, an extended look. And even beyond that, Eric Comrie, coming up behind him in his first full season as a pro, had a lot of people tell me that he looks like, as young as he is and as important as adding experiences, technically and tactically and the way he approaches the game, he's ready for the NHL right now. So getting a look at these guys, if nothing else for the Winnipeg Jets, is going to help them make decisions going forward, because eventually they are going to have to make some tough calls on these four, whether it's Hellebuck, whether it's Comrie, whether it's Pavlik, or whether it's Hutchinson. You can't keep them all. You can keep Comrie in the minors for a while yet, but you're going to have to start to get a look at these guys and make decisions. And I guess it's a hard decision, but it's better to have a choice, and the Jets have four good ones right now.
Kevin Woodley joins us, Crease Lightning. Kevin Woodley writes at In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Oiler goaltenders they meet later on this week. Cam Ward in Carolina. They don't give up many shots, and I know you touched on it earlier. Is he a guy you think who struggles by not seeing as much rubber? Like, they've allowed the fewest shots per game in the National Hockey League, and their goals against average does not mirror that. And then tell me about Ward and also Mrazek, who is just on fire right now in between the Pipes or Detroit.
Well, it'll probably be Ward when Edmonton gets there. It's Lack going tonight, and that is one of the things that they've had to adjust to as goaltenders. Is it's not just that they're not giving up a lot of shots. I watched one of Eddie's games where he didn't see a shot for 8.5 minutes. And the next one was a clear-cut 2-on-1. I mean, those are the toughest ones. I didn't even talk to Talbot about that earlier this season. He had a situation like that where, I think it was in the Flames game, where he stopped Giordano on a shorthanded 3-on-1. He's like, I hadn't seen a shot in 6 minutes. I'm barely into the game. And it's a one-goal game. They score there, and all of a sudden it's two goals on 13 shots. And so there's been a lot of that for the Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders to deal with this year. When you see them, it'll be, yeah, you're right, they don't give up a lot. And they actually create a ton of shots. But when they do give them up, it feels like, and the way that Warren Ice measures it, it's not too dramatic, but there are still in the 9 to 12 range of high-quality shots, and it seems like it's quite often after a large lull. And for a goalie like Ward, who is very reliant on rhythm, he's a very active goaltender, flows a lot around his crease, comes out aggressively and flows back into his crease on rush chances more than some others. He's a real feel guy. He's not a very technical goaltender, although those things have improved a little bit under David Marcoux the last couple of years. So for a guy who relies on that timing, that feel, that rhythm, those large gaps without shots can be a real struggle, and it'll be interesting to see how he continues to adjust that this year.
With a guy like Ward, that's interesting, talking about how a lack of action can be difficult. Is there anything you can do as a goaltender to keep yourself right on that razor's edge that you need to be mentally? Because really, if you're standing at the other end of the ice, watching your guys play with the puck at the other end, that's got a whole set of challenges, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's mostly mental. And hey, that's the job, right? Like, I mean, you know, you're not going to ask for 40 shots instead of 25, but a lot of guys would prefer to have 30 to 35. The hardest part is just mentally not staying in the moment, because it really is supposed to be next shot, next save. That's supposed to be your mindset. But when it goes so long between those, the mind starts to wander. And so, for example, like Talbot said, you haven't seen a shot for 6 minutes. You're watching your team on a power play at the other end, getting a lot of chances. The other goalie's playing good, and it's still a tight game. You haven't seen any shots, and what starts going through the mind? Like, geez, I better stop the next one. Otherwise, you kind of feel like it's all on you even more so, rather than just, hey, make your read. Is it a 2-on-1? Are we in an end zone play? Is there a guy open in the slot? Is he a left shot? Is he a right shot? Do I have to shade depending on that? Reading the situation, reading the shot. As soon as you start to think about results, you're done mentally. So it really is a battle. To some guys segment certain sections of the period. They play 5 minutes at a time instead of an entire period. Some guys, like I said, Brodeur, they handle the puck more because that allows them to feel more involved in the game, even though they're not facing a lot of shots. But at the end of the day, you have to find a way to kind of take that next shot mentality. And, you know, whether it's golf or hockey, we hear the same cliche. It really is just all about that next shot, not about thinking about winning the game. But those thoughts creep in, and the longer you're not doing anything, the easier it is for those thoughts to start to rattle around up there.
Kevin Woodley joins us. One last one for you, Kevin. James Reimer. Here's a goalie who Toronto's done everything in their power, it seemed, to try to get rid of them for the last few years. But Babcock comes in. It's a clean slate. But it's not just the coaching. Reimer has changed something in his game, right?
Hey,
oh, no, it makes a big deal.
This is a team that was a goaltending nightmare for a lot of years just because of what they gave up and because you never knew where it was coming from. And as Babcock said in his first press conference, our guys are going to know, you know, what they have to worry about, where they have to cover. They're going to be certain about that because everyone else is going to be doing their job, and that helps big time. The thing is, James has been capable of this before. He's been on runs like this before. But, you know, there was a segment on Hockey Night that and talked to Kelly Rudy for it about the one thing that has changed, and that was the, you know, head trajectory and tracking, and it's become a popular topic. We've talked about it with Dubnyk. We've talked about it with the Oilers goalies. You know, and the fact that their goaltending coach is kind of on the forefront of learning this, ahead of the curve. But it has made a big difference for James. And, you know, it's tough. Kelly explained it a little bit. You know, we walked through it, and I kind of showed him some things, and he quickly realized that it's a lot more than just watch the puck, but that it really is the way you move your head and the way you track the puck, not just seeing the puck, but how you move your head specifically to track your puck affects the physiology of every other movement, whether it's skating, setup, save, post-save recovery. And as you either do it the right way or don't do it the right way, you either stay on that puck or you add delays as you move through that linear sequence of goaltending. And so it's helped James. It's not perfect there. He's not completely on it all the time. Watching him, his skating is off. He's great off releases right now, and that's really helped him. And then his recoveries, at least the first one, he stays on the puck. So it's a work in progress for him with the Leafs, but clearly, you know, he'll be the first to tell you that the work he did this summer on it in Kelowna has been a big part of the turnaround he's experienced this season.
And one last one for you, Kevin. The San Jose Sharks go on the road for six games and win all six of them. Martin Jones, an NHL star of the week. I haven't seen much technically change in his game, but obviously, you know, this is the first time he's been the go-to reliable guy. People were expecting Jones to be a good goalie. Is this kind of what you expected? What have you seen different in him now that he's a starter rather than a backup?
Well, I think the one thing I want to take a closer look at is, you know, we were praising Jones early in the season. Remember how good he was out of the gate, and a lot of that was on the road. So it's interesting to me that he comes home and has struggles, and then boom, on the road again, and he goes on this run. And you know, I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to look to see what's different. Or ask anybody in the organization what might change. But to me, there was always going to be ups and downs this season for him and highs and lows, and we've seen already two highs with a low in between, just because he hadn't done this job before. And there is an adjustment to being the guy who goes every night. And it's that balance between, especially for a West Coast team, between managing your fatigue and your rest and managing your game in practice. You just, when you're the everyday guy, you can't be out on the ice with the goalie coach early and late and stay out there all practice every day. You have to kind of pick your spots. And so there are parts of your game that are going to have a little ebb and flow, and they're going to slip at times. And it's a much harder to find that time to work on it in practice when you got to worry about having your energy to start the next night. And so every goalie that Talbot went through it early when he replaced Lundqvist last year and talked about the learning experience of that, how he had to make that adjustment after the first few weeks, and then he settled into being a number one guy. There's a process, there's a learning curve to being that guy, and I think you're seeing Jones go through it with some of these ups and downs early this season.
Kevin, always great to talk to you, man. We'll keep reading your stuff at NHL.com and in Goal Magazine. We'll talk to you next Monday.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good one.